I woke up this morning and I was in my shower having a, and the thought occurred to me, what am I going to do on my birthday?
Happy birthday, by the way.
And then I realized it was my birthday. Ah, for God's sake. And then I thought, what's my level of consciousness this morning? And I doused it and it was bloody low. And I went, emergency, ride. So I did my shower power exercise a couple of times, which just jumped it, more than double. And then I had a collection of Or my. So how's your day so far?
Oh, my day so far has been pretty nice. I had a great day. I love doing what I do. I love being in the healing arts, as they say. And our clinic is finally picking up a little bit. And so
do you have anyone to stitch up today?
No, and I have to be real careful. Because the other day, I joked about it, but I, of course.
Yeah, but Barry didn't hear the story. You can tell him.
Oh, well, I was musing to the people at work. It sure would be nice to have a nice old laceration come in. I haven't sewed one in a while, and that 15 minutes later, some guy came in, he's peeling potatoes. At the big popular restaurant here, the Smith House. And he sliced his hand open. And so I spent the next hour sewing it back up. It was kind of nice because I got to sit down. And, and I got to thinking, gee, I hope I didn't, wish his laceration upon him.
No, you just matched up. You just matched up good with his choice.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
His karma,
Yeah.
But that's what I've noticed is just what you were musing about, the closing of the gap, the undeniable possibility, and it's rather like, all the things they posit on What the Bleep.
Right.
We live in a responsive universe with physical matter that is really made up of intelligent matter, and that all of it is everything, and there's just one of us here.
Have you seen The Secret yet, Thomas?
No, but I ordered it today.
Good for you.
Oh, mate, you will love that.
I ordered it today from the Bleep store because I noticed they had it online. I was going to search for it on Amazon, and I didn't bother because I saw it there.
Yeah.
And then I also ordered another DVD that's entitled What Made Jesus the Christ, and how he took it on, and actually, literally as the metaphysics anyway, metaphysical people say would channeled the Christed energy, which descended upon him like as the quote is as a white dove.
Oh wow!
While he was being baptized by John the Baptist, in the River Jordan.
Now, there's some new work. There's a new book called A Gnostic Cycle, I believe is the name of the book. And it's written by an Ormus gentleman. And he basically claims that that Jesus was a Gnostic, was a amongst the Gnostic folk at Qumran.
Mount Carmel, yeah.
Yeah, Qumran. And they went to Mount Carmel now and then, but basically the idea is that
Jesus was an ascetic.
A lot of his travels, as reported in the Bible, were not really travels.
Ah, exactly.
He was moving around in the Qumran community. And they had different names for the different rooms, and this was all posted in code so that the Romans wouldn't shut him down. And the code is a standard code. Barbara Thiering came up with this concept. An Aussie, and he took it and worked with it and basically concluded that the four Gospels were written in this code. Many of the Essene books that were found at Qumran were written in this code. And, okay, but the point of the book is he brings up Ormus throughout the book. He calls it M-State, but same thing. So it's a pretty cool book. And he had me go through it and kind of correct it.
And where is this book out?
You should be able to purchase it. And I'm hoping that he'll send me a note and I guess I'm going to just put a note about it on one of the lists here pretty soon.
Hopefully he'll put it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's available, I believe, on Amazon. I'm not sure.
Usually one of the best ways to get them.
Yeah.
So you're going to make a note on the Ormus list, Barry? Is that what I think I heard you say?
Yeah, I'll put a note on several of the lists.
Incidentally, I very much enjoyed your latest post where you talk about...
Oh, wasn't it great?
It was fantastic.
About I checked myself a few times reading it.
It's really stretching the box, stretching most people's box a lot.
Well, yeah.
And you know that there might be more than one universe. And metaphysically, they say there's 43 Christed universes and an infinite number of non-Christed universes.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they say in the metaphysical community. You know, the Mount Shasta folks that originally brought me to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That there's a whole hierarchy as well. So.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. That's how, yeah, actually, that's how I got, you know, it was finding out about those things that got, it was kind of a convoluted kind of journey that brought me to Ormus when, and I think Ormus chose the time to reveal itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway. There's also many references if you reread the New Testament. There's many references to the various goals. Well, you've got most of them posted.
Mm-hmm.
And the Keys of Enoch, which is a very interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello, this is Joe from Illinois, USA.
Oh, good.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome. We're just having a little conversation, so listen in.
All right.
Well, what were we talking about there?
Keys of Enoch.
I've forgotten now.
Excuse me?
Keys of Enoch.
I've forgotten now.
I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Anyhow, so what you want to talk about?
Well, let's not launch into a subject.
Okay.
Before everyone's done with arriving, otherwise we'll just... I found that trying to have any kind of conversation at this time is counterproductive. So at the moment, we're kind of like in welcoming limbo.
Oh, I understand. And we'll be in welcoming limbo for...
Hey, Joe, tell us something about Joe.
Well, not much to tell, really.
I bet there is.
I'm relatively new to this and just trying to learn. I've been on the forum for several months, and that's really about it. I haven't gotten into Ormus yet. I'm about ready to try it, but not there yet.
Are you on a local group yet?
No.
You ought to get on one of the local groups, because there's people in your area that I presume that are interested in this and may have actually made it and worked with it a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I'm about 60 miles from Chicago. So
uh-huh.
In fact, I got an email today from someone who's in that same area in Illinois, who is actually going to produce magnetic trap water out of an artesian well there. And so I know there's a lot of people in the area.
Probably.
Are you in a rural area?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a farming area.
Mm-hmm.
About 60 miles south of Chicago.
Okay, cool. Do you have access to well water?
Yes, I do.
There you go. That's the way to go.
Right. I've got the plan for building a magnetic trap, and I just got to get busy and do it.
Yep.
Well, they're pretty easy. The only special tool you'll need is a drill press. And you can peg it with a hand drill, but it doesn't turn out as well if you can borrow a drill press or use somebody that you know. And use lots of PVC cement. But other than that, they're really easy to build.
Okay.
Pretty satisfying.
I just heard someone else come in.
Yes, hi, it's me, Serena.
Hello,
hi, Serena.
Hi.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, how you doing?
I've been enjoying your post, Serena.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Dennis Cooney speaking.
Dennis, hi, how are you?
Well, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, too. I love that.
Who else
tell
we
tell
got?
Us
we
what
got
it's going to be like tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You open the paper and get the lottery numbers for us, would you?
Yeah, I can read them off right now.
Oh.
Oh yeah, let me do that. Let me go check out the lottery numbers. I got to do that.
3809-5589.
What?
Well, Serena, thanks for your email. This is Thomas. And
hi, Thomas. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I quickly read over my emails when I got home from work, and I see that you had responded. And you know, I mean, it was a. I felt quite inspired this morning for some reason, and let that go. But I very much enjoyed your story about your friend coming over and practicing the Hawaiian technique and what happened as a result. It's a lovely clearing, both emotional and physical.
Yes, a lot seems to be going on, but I'm just not seeming to look that far out of outside of myself as I wrote. It's just strange, but I will be looking from now on.
Well, I think, you know, like I have a gentleman who called me and said, just, you know, how much do I have to drink to really accelerate my process? And I said, well, you know, this is a man who's eating raw food only and doing yoga twice a day for an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, as
wow.
well as drinking, I recommended for him 4 ounces a couple of times a day of trap water. And he has had an amazing response, and I can see him energetically making great progress, but he's like he wants to drink more because he wants to go faster. And I would submit that, you know, quantum speed is quantum speed, and that you can't really go any faster than that. And that it's a process that takes some time that, you know, I don't want to, I guess, launch into the whole thing, but I think, you know, I tell my friends, take this stuff, drink this water for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, you know, you'll just kind of look around and say, you know, what the heck has happened? Because everything.
Hey, Thomas, let's not get into any storytelling just yet, because I want you to tell that very same story once everyone's on. And I want to just invite people to say who they are and where they're from, because this is our welcoming period right now. So please speak up.
This is Bonnie from San Diego.
Bonnie!
Hello.
Good to hear you again.
Thank you.
This is Lou from Arizona. Lou Harris.
Hi, Lou.
G'day, Lou.
On again.
Which part of Arizona are you from?
Tucson.
The Tucson.
Hellhole. Huh?
Tucson.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona's hellhole.
Isn't that a hot place?
Yeah.
It must have got bloody hot this last summer.
Is the Pope a Catholic? Yes.
Usually you're supposed to say, but it's dry heat.
Well, I got tired of that. Anyway.
Hey, who else have we got?
Siegfurter just checking in.
Siegfurter? Is that the famous Siegfurter?
That's the one.
Far out. Fabulous. Wonderful to have you on the call. Boys and up.
Yeah.
The only Siegfurter I've ever met.
Yeah, that's right. A one-off, original, one-of-a-kind, limited edition.
Anyone else on here?
That was Barry, by the way.
Yeah, hi, Barry.
Hi.
Who else have we got this checked in so far? Who's willing to admit it?
Well, speaking of hot, how about Rochelle from Las Vegas?
We've been thinking about you and talking about you, Rochelle.
Viva Las Vegas! Happy birthday!
At least you got to be heard today. Just thank you,
yeah,
darling.
Things
I'm having,
are changing. They're always changing. And
I'm having an international
happy birthday,
birthday party.
Everyone should know it's your birthday tomorrow. Or is it already in your land?
It's already tomorrow here where
today,
he is.
Today.
It's today. Well, happy birthday.
I only realized when I was in the shower that it was actually my birthday today.
Oh, well, that means you're having a good day if you don't know where you're at.
Well, I'm having an international birthday party.
Absolutely. So happy birthday, and I just wanted to check in, and I'm going to check out, but I wanted to say happy birthday and hello to Barry and everyone else.
Check out, just when we're getting used to your company.
Well, at least I got in.
Yeah. At least we can hear you this time.
Yes.
Well, Rochelle, we were talking about some of the stories that you have to tell about taking Ormus and actually bathing in water that is energized Ormus from your Star Baby's toys.
Yeah, there's some good stories.
Yep.
A lot of living proof.
What?
Yep.
Tell us 60 seconds worth now. No more.
Pardon me?
Give us 60 seconds worth.
Like for example with me, I've been asked for my ID to prove that I'm 21.
Uh-huh.
And also to prove that I'm a senior citizen on the same day.
Oh, my.
I'm not
joking.
That was fun, and I've had that happen several times. One time I was buying Southern Comfort eggnog. I said, there isn't even any alcohol, but I'm going out to show you. So there's a lot of stories, but maybe another time, and anybody who connects with me personally can hear a lot of them. But today's Thomas's time, and actually yours, Dennis, because it is your birthday.
Well, listen, we're having our welcoming period right now, and thank you for that little interlude, Rochelle.
Okay.
Who else has got on?
Pleasure.
Who else is on? Nicole. Come on, don't be shy. That's a huge amount of silence with people not saying who they are.
Well, maybe that's all the people we're going to.
Hey, Barry, have you bought in the free room yet?
Not yet, but it's coming up soon, eh?
Yeah, why don't we just put them on now?
Okay, I'll get started with that.
Well, you know, this is Sid Curta. When I tried to dial in this morning, I got a message that the number you have used is incorrect. Please redial. And I did that about four times, and then I just got frustrated. And so I just hung on the line to see what the message was, if it repeated it. And then it told me to put in the code without redoing the message. But I'm wondering if other people are getting the same response. And if
I'm
going
to try that now on my own phone.
Mine went first. So,
thanks for that.
Yeah.
I got right in without any problem.
You did? Okay.
Blue, I got
no problem at all connecting.
Okay, that's great. Maybe it's just something over here in Southeast Asia that's the problem.
The wonderful world of software.
Yeah.
Pretty wonderful.
Is this a long-distance call for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, international?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it is.
Well, if you're out of the U.S.
No, I'm in the United States.
It's a call to, I believe, San Diego. California.
Oh, okay.
I just joined the two lines.
Okay, great. So we got the free conference room now?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there was anybody in there.
Okay.
Well, it's been raining over here in Hong Kong for the last two or three days because another typhoon has gone through. This one's headed toward Vietnam, but we got a share of it last night. And it's been interesting to me, being from New Orleans, that, you know, all that they said was going to happen this year in New Orleans has not happened. But, man, oh, man, Southeast Asia has been buffeted with typhoon after typhoon. So the weather's on the other side of the world this year.
Yep.
Also the Pacific coast of Mexico as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Southern California, San Diego, and L.A. We had a whole month of tropical weather in July, humidity, and some in August, but not as much, and we're usually a very dry climate.
Yeah.
So...
Well, we had a drought.
Kind of unpredictable. The scientists don't seem to know what's happening.
Well, one thing that is predictable, warmness is going to help.
Yes. I agree with that.
Being able to grow things twice as big or four times as big, the same piece of land, that's going to be good no matter where you are.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, the good news is I got into the conference call okay.
I hope you're not going to do it that way, though.
There was a little echo there.
Yeah, that was just me talking on two phones at the same time, but I've cut the other one off now.
Fair enough.
So you're not going to be hearing me again and again and again and again.
Oh.
So who else have we got come onto the call? Please say who you are. And where are you from? That's it.
Hi, Dennis. It's Alan from Scotland. I'm just getting wakened up here, man.
Alan from Scotland?
Yep.
Well, how'd you be doing?
Well, I'm half asleep, but I'm working at it.
It's bloody good to be
here. Hi, Alan.
Hi,
up in the morning.
How you going, mate? It's good to hear you on the call.
Having a wee dram here, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, right. You might have to translate for the Americans what a wee dram is.
Oh, we know what a wee dram is.
Right.
We get 12
sometimes
year old
sometimes international
drams.
Terminologies just don't get around, do they?
Huh?
Who else have we got? Besides that distinguished Alan from Scotland. Are you in Edinburgh, Scotland?
Well, we've got a bunch of silent lurkers, I guess.
Well, okay, I'm okay with silent lurkers.
I'm okay with that, too.
Well, if we came in early, we don't repeat ourselves, do we? Because all the
Well, you can repeat yourself.
Oh, well. This is Bonnie in San Diego.
Hello, back.
I'm back again.
Again?
I'm expecting a whole bunch of other folks. And maybe they're not even wanting to say who they are.
Well,
Barry said, many, many more people have paid for this call than who announced themselves. So maybe shyness is part of the international almost community, Barry. What do you think?
Might well be.
Certainly it has not
That's a beep that indicates someone else just came in. Who is that? Another shy one. Hey, listen.
My phone is almost dead here. This is called...
I can't hear you. We can't hear you. Please speak up.
Yeah, my phone kind of sucks. So this is Paul in Imperial Beach, California.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Well, don't worry about it. Just as long as you can hear us, you're fine. Who else just came in? Tell us who you are. Where you from?
Marcus in Germany.
Marcus. Hi, buddy.
How's it going?
Welcome.
Thanks.
It's going fantastic so far.
Good morning.
We're just getting warmed up here.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, Thomas has had a great day, and he's just got himself a bit almost up, and he's juiced and ready to go. Who else just came on? Just another person who's a lurker.
Anytime we want to start, we can start.
Okay, good.
I have figured out who the winner is.
Oh, really? Great. Excellent. Fabulous. Because I was about to say that we need to start with the raffle, which is really neat because, Thomas, that's an amazing gift to give not one but two whole gallons of your magic water.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And so...
Now, are we doing two winners for the raffle?
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Is that you? Is that you scrambling for another winner, Barry?
Yeah.
Suppose you're using your random number generator again.
Well, if you want to give that if you want to give the second gallon in 2 weeks, that's okay too. Or tonight, it makes no ever mind to me.
How are we going to do this?
Well, we promised to give them both tonight.
Okay.
We could do that. In the meantime, why don't you just give an unabashed 1 minute or no more, half a minute pitch on how incredible your water is, Thomas, and why? As a prelude to the announcement of the winner.
Well, okay. I came upon this water source. It's a local legend of several hundred years of an Indian princess named Trilaida who was led to a spring in the woods by a voice that she heard in her head that somebody called the Witch of Cedar Mountain, which is where this is. And she went to the spring and drank from the water and stayed young and lovely, and she was reportedly over 80 years old. And she was kidnapped by mean Chief Washika, who took her about 30 miles west of here. And she cried for her spring, reportedly cried tears of pure gold. And when she grew old and ugly and died, he brought her back and buried her under a stone pile right in the middle of a intersection, not far from where I live. And it's become tradition to put a pebble on her grave to have every wish fulfilled and to remain young and lovely. And Dahlonega is actually Cherokee for yellow gold. There's still gold being mined commercially here in North Georgia, and reportedly there's more gold in Lumpkin County, Georgia, than there is in Alaska and California combined. The famous There's Gold in Menbar Hills was given from the speech was given from the courthouse downtown. And it was in 1849, they were saying, oh, there's still plenty of gold here. Don't go to California. And, in fact, there is. I walk the streams and pick up nuggets of gold. In fact, I'm converting several of the nuggets I'm trying anyway, hydrogen peroxide and nitrite and things like that. I'm trying to produce some white powder. It's I'm afraid I don't give it enough attention to have it turning out very well. But at any rate, I mostly drink my trap water. And when I saw Barry speak about Ormus, I knew exactly what was in this water and started concentrating it with a magnetic trap. And the water that I bottle up is really, it runs through a series of traps and through a rare earth activator tube. And as I prepare each bottle, I meditate or hold the space, as they say. Sometimes I'll play the new pair of Rosarum that you were kind enough to send me again, Dennis. And sometimes I'll play Gregorian chants or put my rice machine in my in, stick my Rife machine in my sock, or listen to a Hemisync Monroe Institute whole brain synchronization. Any rate, I'll produce each bottle individually for whoever it is that, that orders it. I'll try to tune in on their energy signature and prepare it for them. And so, I very often don't know who the water is going to, but it seems to find its way to whoever it needs to find its way to, and sort of like the Orma says, it finds its way and chooses how it works, and it's a very gentle way of taking Orma, I think. But overall, I think I'm happiest with trap water rather than, you know, the other powdered forms and such. There's lots of great Ormai out there, as you say, Dennis.
So, Barry, do you have a couple of winners for us?
I do.
Excellent, fabulous, wonderful, great. Please let us have who they are.
The winner number one is the Ringer.
All right.
So no,
okay.
Hey.
Okay. No, how about
way
that?
Way to go, Serena. Fabulous.
Yeah. Wow.
Asking how to get some water, and there you go.
Wow, how cool is that?
So that's Ormus acting in your life. That's your intention, and look what happened.
That is so cool. That's probably the first raffle I've ever won in my life.
Well, that's
that is mega cool.
That's mega cool.
Wow. Thank you.
A whole gallon.
I am so excited. I really am.
And the winner number two is Roland.
Roland.
Now, who is Roland?
That Rudra in Illinois? Roland.
Oh,
Roland.
Know how to contact him.
Well, evidently he's not on the call.
He may not be.
No, that's okay.
Well, we had one celebration anyway. Fabulous, Serena.
Yeah, that is cool. I'm so excited. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Serena, can I share a little bit about the email? You were asking about how to have a divine experience and manifest in your life.
And yeah, thank you. Okay.
And I was saying, well, it's happening, you know? And
yeah.
It was interesting. I don't have the time to read every post, but lately there's been the question, the facetious question about when do we turn to Superman? And I just want to say we're already Supermen. That's the whole thing. The Course in Miracles talks about how we've already reached our perfection, and all we have to do is recognize it. And that what the barriers that really stand in the way to doing that is ourselves, and the way that we picture ourselves, and the way we feel like this little struggle that we have in our daily life is really what life's about. But it's really not. Well, anyway. I don't know whether you want me to start talking about this stuff yet, but...
Yeah, please do. Go right ahead. You're on, man.
Well,
yeah, it's your night, Thomas, so you call it.
Anyhow, we got talking about, over the last couple of days, I've been talking with Barry and had a bunch of emails, and got thinking about the things that I know a little bit about that are unique or a perspective that I can bring to it that I don't have the patience or the time, I guess, to write a lot about, and really, it's sort of the spiritual journey that I've had along the way, and you know, a lot of it was posted in that lengthy email that I got kind of tired of reading. when I started doing originally work with a friend at Duke who was doing a doctoral thesis. We were studying brain waves and were quite convinced that if we could generate, at the time, on oscilloscopes rather than on EEG machines, because there really weren't those kind of devices out, and computers were the size of rooms at the time, but we were generating on oscilloscopes alpha waves and trying to generate beta and theta with controlled breathing and meditative state, and we were quite convinced at the time that because of the energy and the concentration involved in generating brainwaves within that kind of environment, that there was a physical state that naturally accompanied the deep alpha, and that in order to achieve deep alpha or theta or delta, which are slower brain waves, they're usually associated with deep sleep or deep meditation, would naturally that you'd get to the point where you were so relaxed where you actually would fall asleep rather than having an awake experience. And our struggle was really just to do that, was to stay awake and still generate these experiences. And so we were quite convinced at the time that in order to generate these brain waves, you had to have a particular physical state. And many years go by after that.
What year was that? Or what?
Oh, that was back in 1972 and 1973. And we were working at J.B. Rhine's Foundation for the Research into the Nature of Man at well, it's not really associated with Duke. It's really across the street from the East Campus at Duke. And then there's an institution that's supported by Duke, which is the Psychic Research Foundation on Irwin Road. I don't even know if it's still there, but at the time they were bringing tested psychics from all over the world and doing the 25-card symbol ESP deck, where people would try to read cards, precog the cards, take cards in sealed envelopes down the hall and so on, and try to send these things. And that was in conjunction with the very early remote viewing experiments, which were being done mostly by our government in order to spy, which were really headed up by a man named Skip Atwater, who is now the director of research at the Monroe Institute, and who teaches the remote viewing class at Monroe Institute. So at the time, though, there really wasn't a good facility to study all this. Richard Kramer, who is now in Northern California, really, when he lost his tenure at Duke in the early 70s, there were a lot of tenure wars, and he lost his tenure at Duke and left, and really his brainwave research kind of came to an end at the time. But I kind of kept it in the back of my head, and when I started reading in the 70s, later on started reading a series of books by Robert Monroe, who later founded the Monroe Institute. He wrote a series of books that deal with out-of-body experience that he was having spontaneously and wanted to not only elucidate what was happening to him and provide literally a roadmap. He talked about it like getting on the interstate and using certain exits and things like that, but really providing a reference point for those people who were out-of-body travelers or who were able to or consciously or unconsciously achieve that out-of-body state. And I became kind of fascinated with the concept of full-brain synchronization. And he trademarked a process called HemiSync, which is really binaural beat technology, where a tone, say, of 320 is played in one ear and a tone of 328 is played in the other ear, and the brain creates the third tone, which is the difference between the two, which would be 8 megahertz cycle, which is really an alpha rhythm. And by inducing those sort of rhythms, the following tone, by layering sounds, you can actually layer different rhythms, and that's what the heart of what he coined the word HemiSync. There's also, as you probably know, if you've explored it on the internet, binaural beat. There's also HoloSync, which is a fascinating series as well. There are recordings available for all these various states for recordings to stimulate alertness and quick thinking, relaxation. There are recordings that are particularly effective for ADHD and OCD and things, various disorders and imbalances. that are non-chemical, of course. Autistic children, they were finding that by lighting up the brain, by synchronizing the whole brain, they were able to induce behavioral change. And by lighting up the whole brain, I mean that the brain biochemically and as an organism, your brain really wants to shut down and fire as few neurons as possible and to set up its own little so-called reflex arc. And as you do that, your brain will establish new pathways and the neurons will reach out and make associations along those pathways so that your brain can fire and repeat that with as little energy as possible. And that's just the sort of biochemical and physical changes that are elucidated in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. And it's and
is that what you think happens with attacking Ormus and M State Thomas?
Well, I think that Ormus, and that's a fascinating part, that when the whole brain synchronizes left to right hemisphere and front to back, you can induce these various states and these various changes. There's various brain waves that are associated with endorphin release and so on. And I was fascinated when I was exploring the website to find an article about brain coherence as the result of Ormus intake. And I've forgotten, I believe they were taking one of the powdered supplements, Ethereum Gold, and I think there was a Zenergy as well involved, and from Priestess Alchemy, as I recall. But at any rate, they had individuals who had absolutely no meditative experience who had taken Ormus, who were able to sit and by EEG fall into deep alpha and theta and delta state and still be sitting alert and talking. And this is complete anathema to what, of course, our experience was in the early 70s because we were trying so hard to generate these states and, of course, would not be able to do it with our eyes open, sitting at a table talking, and particularly not with teenagers and people who had never had any kind of meditative experience because, after all, you know, we were eating vegetarian and meditating Zen and doing all these lofty things. And I thought that was all part of the process. And when I read that, I was just kind of dumbfounded because I had worked so hard to, in the hemisync booth at Monroe site. And I started, really combining the two, doing hemisync and Monroe Institute kind of experiences. Listening to their various binaural beats and the various ones that I could find on the internet, and taking Ormus at the same time, and it really magnified both the experience of the Ormus and the experience of the hemisync, which was, you know, frankly, for my particular adventure, I was really trying to learn how to consciously have an out of body experience and to explore the expanded energetic states that are on the other side that you have access to when you're not bound by this little package we call our physical body. Because, you know, I think we're so much more than that. So when I combined the two, I started having these spontaneous experiences, not listening to the binaural beat technologies, and also when I would have out-of-body experiences and what I would describe as my kundalini rising, very kind of overwhelmingly physical experiences that I now would call just ecstatic, really blissful experiences. And I thought when they first started that they were kind of sexual, but as they have progressed, I don't find them sexual at all. I find them very energetic and very uplifting and very difficult to talk about, actually. But the whole thing for me has been to learn how to use this physical reality to my energetic advantage. Not really to, as I would say in shorthand, get off this, but you know, I don't think this planet is the be all and end all. I think that this is the laboratory and that we get to graduate. And when we graduate and don't need our physical bodies anymore, when we're, as Big Berto would say, as we've entered our light body, and some of my metaphysical friends would use the word ascension, and actually that's really how I went into it. But there's a lot more than this physical experience. And I think that the Ormus has really facilitated that process for me to see that and to recognize that the process going on outside of my physical body is really just a reflection of what's going on inside my physical body. It's from my perspective, it's all me, and like it would be from anybody else's. It's all you, and you're making it all up and part of it. And I'm very flattered to be part of it. And that's great.
But, hey, Thomas, the other day we were talking about the fact that both of us were so much more enjoying being here in physical bodies, on physical Earth these days, that it was more like heaven on Earth. Why don't you speak to me or to us a little bit about that?
Well, I remember telling you, and I'm it's a little peculiar to say this, but I'd say probably 8 or 9 years ago, right, not long after my mom and dad died, I would say I was very, very depressed and almost suicidal. My brother had taken antidepressants and ended up in a mental hospital with a psychotic reaction to them, and my sister had been admitted to the Cleveland Clinic after taking the natural St. John's wort remedies. And so when they suggested I take those kind of medications, I was really very resistant to it. But about that time, I went out and had a spiritual awakening, I guess is a good way to refer to it, at the Light Institute in New Mexico. And then started getting on a healer's table. I went to an energetic healer, someone who did chakra balancing, very much like the Barbara Brennan School of Healing method, and gradually began to see the light. But you know, not so long ago, when I began to consciously take Ormus, I had lived in this house and drunk the water for 5 years or so. But then I started to concentrate it and actually have a conscious process about it. And I don't know when it actually happened, but just the other day I kind of looked around and there was sun coming through the trees and a beautiful mist and a bird singing. And I just started to giggle because I was thinking how great it is to be here. And that's so different for me because I've made it sort of my tape is, you know, I'm not really enjoying this planet at all. And, you know, and so I went out and I said to the universe, you know, God, please, you know, whatever it takes, please don't make me come back here. Please, you know, whatever it takes. And, you know, when you do that, God, she says, fasten your seatbelt. And that's what happened. It's been quite a journey, but I've got to say that I just am enjoying the daylights out of it, especially this last 6 or 8 months. It's just been really ecstatic. And just simple things like, you know, like a flower blooming or a hummingbird landing on the arm of my chair or manifesting something, you know. That's been the most wonderful thing about it is to have a thought and then have it just pop up. It's just been an extraordinary experience. I'm afraid, you know.
Tell us about the casting you wanted to do. You told me about the suture.
Oh well, I was telling Barry and Dennis that I work in an urgent care. I'm a physician's assistant, and in fact, I found this job. I had been prowling the want ads and on the internet trying to find employment because I had been laid off unexpectedly, with no notice and and no money. So, and in looking at that, it was simultaneously the next week my very best friend was diagnosed with lung cancer that had metastasized to her brain. And we've been giving her Ormus, but at any rate, I had the opportunity to spend all day and weeks with her at the time, and it just worked out great. But there came a time when I needed to go back to work, and I was thinking, gosh, I really need a job. I was on my way to the post office to mail out some water, and right on the corner, there's a sign that says, urgent care opening. And so I stopped in, and sure enough, they needed a PA, and the doctor chased me down the driveway. So I got the job by intention. But apart from that, and the other day I was standing there saying, gosh, I sure would like to fill up a big old laceration. And not 15 minutes later, some guy came in who'd been peeling potatoes. He'd practically cut a finger off. And I know that probably sounds pretty grotesque, but that's the kind of emergency room talk. I hope I didn't cause his laceration by saying, gosh, I'd really like to sew one up. But
unlikely.
But that's how fast the manifestation has gotten, and as in Barry's words, there's no longer plausible deniability. I have no doubt whatsoever. And Joe Dispenza, who's the chiropractor guy, talks about it in What the Bleep, and he says, you know, and Ramtha talks about it in the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, how before you start your day, it's to sit there and create and have, you know, and ask for a miracle and ask for it to come back in a way that's just not deniable, that you have absolutely no doubt that it's you coming back to you. And you can influence. It's the responsive universe. And if the physical matter is really just an extension of you. It's all...
And Barry, a PA is a physician's assistant.
Oh,
carry on,
right.
Thomas.
A physician's assistant, that's right. And for those who aren't in the U.S., PAs really function at the level of doctors, except we don't do open heart surgeries and all the expensive stuff, and we get paid like a nurse.
You can write prescriptions too.
We can indeed, and I have a narcotics number and the whole deal. So I really function at the level of a doctor, and unfortunately the urgent care hasn't been very busy, but things are picking up, and I got to work all day. I'm a very lucky man. I get to do, as a profession, what I really enjoy doing, is doing healing work. I also talk to them every now and again about Ormus and about the spring water, because I live near this legendary spring, which is the local legend. And there used to be a large health spa hotel here that burned down in the 1920s, and everyone bought up the land around the spring. But which is not the real spring associated with Trilida. The Cherokee Indian village ruins are still there next to the Cherokee Indian graveyard. You can walk down the path that the legend says she walked down right to the spring. It's just an unassuming little opening in the side of the mountain, and the water bubbles out, and we collect it in a spring box and pump it up the hill. And it is undeniably nice water. I've had it analyzed. It's very, very pure, although it has a fair amount of silicone, because of the quartz, and a fair amount of magnesium in it, and much more sodium than I would expect. But there's 5 parts per billion gold, and usually there's less than 0.05 parts per billion. So there's a fair amount of soluble gold in it as well, and it certainly is extraordinary water, and I concentrated pretty nice by itself, and there certainly are merits. I've been unconsciously bathing in it and soaking in it, taking Epsom salt baths and showers and drinking it and giving it to the dogs and flushing it down the commodes and such like that unconsciously for 4 or 5 years as I've lived here.
Is that the water that you took at the Monroe Institute when you were hooked up to EEC?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I had gone up there as part of a program called Guidelines, and part of Guidelines is a private session in the research booth, and this is an isolation booth within a Faraday cage. that has crystals all around it, and a body temperature water bed filled with supersaturated salt, and it's completely dark and soundproof and blah, blah, blah. It's basically an isolation tank. And I was preparing to get in there, and they slip a what we would call down south a toboggan, but it's really just like a knitted cap on your head, and to seat a few electrodes so that they can basically, but not quantitatively, follow what brain rhythm you're in. They also monitor your skin galvanic response and temperature and so on. And in preparation, I had a 12-ounce glass of water. When I go up there, I take gallons and gallons of this water up there and just kind of set it out and let everybody drink it. And I tell them that it's, you know, what's in it. And usually it disappears pretty fast. But at any rate, I had a 12-ounce glass about 30 minutes before. And we slipped the cap on and was sitting there with the research director, Darlene, who was getting ready to monitor me, and she looked over and she said, you know, you're already in a deep alpha state. And I said, well, how could I be? I'm sitting here, you know, and we're talking about what we want to accomplish and what various, as they, in Monroe Institute parlance, what various focus levels we would like to experiment with and to play on. And they're literally physical states or non-physical states that have a physical sensation associated with it or an energetic sensation. Where you can literally, it's like an elevator. But at any rate, we had planned a certain, we were sitting there planning the itinerary for the private session in the booth, and I was already in a deep alpha state, which was very surprising because, as you remember, I'm the left brain guy who in the 1970s was absolutely convinced that you had to be in a deep alpha state. The only way you could do that is just sitting zazen with in full lotus and eating only vegetables and no red meat. And it didn't turn out to be that at all. I just kind of spontaneously fell into it. Now, admittedly, I have a lot of practice, and a lot of it is about reestablishing or establishing new brainwave patterns and teaching your brain, retraining the brain, rebuilding or forging new neural pathways within the brain that allow you a whole new set of choices. It's a different way of looking upon things. And I think Ormus has really changed the way that I do that. Did I answer your
question? I have a question.
Sure.
This is Sigurda. In your experiments during the 1970s, did you do any work with strobe lights? Using strobe lights to induce alpha, beta, theta states?
No, my experience with strobe lights was strictly psychedelic in the 60s and 70s back then. Had experimented with a number of various Native American rituals and such, and many of them involved use of strobe lights and
well, I'm not talking about strobe lights in conjunction with any drug use or psychedelics, but
you mean to induce alpha and beta and so on?
Yeah, or any kind of lights for that matter.
I've seen various light units that are used to do that.
The reason I'm asking is because when I was with a group of Essenes out in Nevada, we used lights to simulate sunlight.
Uh-huh.
And with certain kinds of lighting, we were able to induce the brain states of alpha, beta, and theta, like with sunlight. And that was very interesting to me that you could do it with light. And I was just wondering if you had any experience with that.
No, I haven't, but I imagine that, there's a certain bleed over from one sense to the other. And a loud stimulus in the ear or a bright stimulus can produce anesthesia in the other senses. So I imagine that as many neurons as are connected to our light sensors and
What we used was a wheel that allowed sunlight to become the strobe. And there were some very interesting mystical effects from that.
Well, you can, with blinking lights, induce epileptic seizures, and so I imagine.
Yeah, I can. I have one daughter that's epileptic, and I know sunlight flashes on the surface of water will induce sometimes a seizure.
Exactly, and migraine headache as well can be induced by that. So I'm not surprised that it's possible to induce alpha and beta and so on. The Dalai Lama sent his best meditators to the Monroe Institute, and they recorded their brainwaves, and these gentlemen and accomplished meditators were able to generate very deep alpha, delta, and theta states with spikes of what's called gamma, which is super fast, 30 to 35.
Yeah.
And they were able to generate these bursts of gamma for 45 seconds to a minute after.
Yeah, we call that spindles.
Exactly.
Have you heard that?
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. And that's what they look like on an EEG as well.
Right. Spindles.
A very high energetic spindles. There are various.
You went into a gamma state or theta state after working on it for a while?
It's absolutely possible. You can. There are certainly binaural beats. You can design with a brainwave frequency generator. There's many of them on the internet. But you can load up your own tones and find tones that are pleasing to your ear and generate pretty much any kind of specific energy you'd like to.
But when you were hooked up to the EEG, you said that first you were in an alpha state.
Oh, yeah, I was able to generate with some concentration once I got into the booth. I fell into a deep delta and was able to generate prolonged spikes of gamma for 2 or 3 minutes at a time.
Is that unusual?
The people that I've talked to one sleep physiologist and neurologist whose name is David Rye at Emory. He's a sleep researcher, and he's aghast about it. He can't imagine people with their eyes open being able to carry on conversations while they're in deep delta state. It's something that usually is not associated with it. And apparently Ormus facilitates that. And admittedly, I have a little practice, but I think that it's something that, like riding a bike, it takes practice and repetition. And you build those nerve pathways, and, you know, you begin to see things differently. That's, you know, the Gospel of Thomas says the kingdom of heaven is spread before your eyes, but we can't see it. And so I think Ormus is like a lens that enables us to see things differently. It's just really changed the way I look upon life and the way I interact, and in a lot of ways, emotionally and physically and energetically. I'm participating in a way I didn't used to. And I was stuck on the Buddha saying life is suffering, and I was like, yeah, it sure is. And I was not enjoying my stay, but that's all changed now. And I think Ormus has a lot to do with that.
You got some aura photos taken?
I did indeed. We took some the I guess they're called Curlian photographs, but there's an aura photographic device where you put your hand on a plate and then they take your picture. And actually I've got it posted, you have it posted on Subtle Energies, and I have it on my website, CherokeeGold.net.
Mm-hmm.
And there's I have a before and after, the before water and after water. And before, it's a nice aqua blue and not a very unusual aura. But then after drinking the trap water, about 30 minutes later, it's very purple. and people look
can't
at
it. Can't even see your face through it.
No, you can't. And I was a little surprised myself. So, the girl who took the picture was so surprised, she didn't charge me for it. And, you know, those people who have those cameras, you know how unusual it is you get a free one. So, so she's like, whoa, look at this. I'll let you have this one for free. So I was pretty amazed. It's just been, and I didn't expect this. I'm a very left-brained, analytical kind of guy, you know, like Doubting Thomas and stuff. I never would have expected this. And it's been a very welcome thing. But, you know, I think the whole object is to get someplace with it, not just to have the experience or to feel it. I'm a little discouraged to read all this stuff about it. I want to take it till I feel it. You know, it's not a physical experience. It's a spiritual experience. And you don't always feel those. But, you know, after you have them, you think, wow. And I expect that, you know, would be a pretty common experience. I think Ormus brings you healing at levels you don't even know you need healing. And the most unexpected things evolve. Or at least they have for me. And I would wish that for everyone else, too. It's been a wonderful journey.
Do you think more is better?
Excuse me?
Do you think more is better? I mean, in consuming the water. Does it intensify the greater the quantity of it?
I think up to a point. I know that not everyone... I've had people say that they could not even take a teaspoon of this water a few times a day. There are some people who take several drops of it under their tongue. For those people, a gallon lasts a very long time. And I would think that the Ormus escapes over time, but I don't find that that more is necessarily better. I think it's a quality experience. I think that it happens at a certain rate no matter how much you take, and I think that people should find their own depth and ask their own guidance about what to take. But, you know, we have this very American attitude about more is better, and if a little is good, then a whole lot must be better. And I mean, I've had it myself. I admit I've taken a whole tablespoon of your, in fact, about 30 minutes before the call, I took a tablespoon of your Ormus Nigrita, and I had a good old swig off Don, a bass that he calls White Lion because he thought it was very potent. White Dove, so he called it White Lion because he thought it was more in keeping with the nature of that particular bat. And I did that because I wanted the Ormus itself, its personality, to be able to talk if it wanted to, and I guess it probably has expressed itself a little bit. I think there's a consciousness to it, and that it's a dance that you do, and it isn't necessarily related to quantity. I think it's related to consciousness about that and where various people are with that process. You know, I don't think it's this thing that changes people night and day or that it's an experience you take it and you just kind of wait for things to happen, you know, the earth to shake or the windows to steam over. It just doesn't. I don't think it works like that. It's subtle, and I keep saying that. That's why it's called subtle energy, as you know. And
can I just interrupt here? We're hearing that dog barking in the background, whoever it is.
Oh, Dennis, that's me. How do I turn my phone off? The star six?
Or star six, one of those should do it.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Not a problem.
Thanks, mate.
Star six?
Doggone.
Another one. Star six? Did you say?
Yeah.
It's a Cinder. Hi. Bye.
Hi, Cinders.
Hey, Cinder. So.
Hey, listen, just before you go on, Thomas, let me just take a quick commercial break here to announce what the call we're doing mid-month is exactly in line with what you were just talking about, Thomas, and that is the personality of Ormus, the traits, the qualities, the nature of Ormus as measurable by kinesiological testing. Now, in a couple of weeks, in our mid-month call, we're going to have Deb from Maine, who's the tester who did all. For those of you who have been on the list for more than a few months, will have read the extraordinary percentages of Ormus activity in all these different foods, and the readings that she was getting at in terms of how Ormus was conscious and what traits and nature that it had and what kind of environments it would tolerate. And so we're going to have those guys on as guests in 2 weeks in our mid-month call, and I just want to take this moment to advertise that in advance, because these guys are fascinating, and I want you to think about the kind of questions you want to ask to Deb and formulate those questions so she can test on them. Yeah? So that's my commercial break, Thomas. Now, what I'd like to do is maybe ask you to speak about, you know how you mentioned about someone wanted to know and was allied to that subject you were just speaking on. How can I speed this thing up?
Well,
would you speak to that?
Well, what I did to speed this thing up was what has happened has been quite natural. When I started getting guidance, if you will, I started hearing, not really hearing like a spoken voice, but hearing guidance. And I started writing it down because I was a student of the Course in Miracles. I still am. And when Helen Schuckman heard this voice in her head, it said, "This is the Course in Miracles. Please take notes." And so she asked a friend, "What should I do?" And he said, "Well, let's write it down." And so I decided I'd start writing it down. And it's been pretty repetitive and consistent. They'll answer, or I call them they, but it's really her. Well, who knows? Anyway, it's this responsive guide, and they keep encouraging me to be scrupulous about my diet, to be regular in my exercise, and to formalize my meditation. And so I would sort of reiterate that. I think that what has happened has been a natural journey away from eating things that ultimately aren't very good for me, red meat and cheesecake and sour cream and all the things that I have loved, but I really just don't have a taste for it much anymore. I am spontaneously doing Tai Chi and yoga in a way that I crave every day, and I feel that that's really important to integrate the physical transformation that's going on both energetically and emotionally, and to help ground me, which I find is so important with the Ormus. If you take a lot of it and you don't consciously ground yourself, I find that I get what everyone on the list calls the whirly, and that I get a little disoriented, and sometimes have to sit down and consciously ground myself. And then the other thing is formalized meditation, to actually sit down and take the time to listen, because, as you know, as conversations with God would say, it's not that God doesn't talk to everybody, it's just that hardly anybody ever listens. And that's what I would say, is to listen to your inner guidance and formalize your meditation and be scrupulous in your diet and get some exercise. And that's pretty much what I tell my patients, too. Keeping care of the temple and doing your inner housework. And I think that facilitates the whole process. You know.
When you had your Kundalini awakening experience, were you working at the time?
At the time, I was between jobs. I had not started
the job that I, well, I did a lot of osteoporosis care and osteoporosis research, and I had not started that job. It was the 2 weeks before that when I started having those experiences. I was actually at Monroe Institute at a program called the Gateway Experience, which is the one that you have to take before you do anything else. It's their introductory program. And I was found myself in the check unit, which is the isolation unit, with the headphones on, having what I thought were, well, I guess I'm content to leave it at Kundalini experiences. I could literally feel it rise from my base chakra through my third eye, and as it did so, I had a great opening of my third eye, and had what I would refer, what I called at the time, I remember in the debrief afterwards, said that I had had an orgasm, and it did feel like that, but there was no physical, any kind of physical. There were no sexual, physical characteristics of it, I guess, without being overly specific.
Was it anything, was it something that made it difficult to do things in the real world other than that?
Well, I found that when I started having them, when I would be walking down the road and see hummingbirds or something extraordinarily beautiful, that I would find myself having those kind of experiences or just talking about them. And in fact, I don't want to talk about them to the extent that I lose my train of thought here. But for a while, they were very difficult to control. I felt like I was on a kind of like on a wild horse. And it took me a little while to begin to channel them into a more controllable experience where I could actually talk about it without having the experience. But yeah, they began. It's sort of when you it's like the rat who has that little pedal, and that stimulates their hypothalamus. And once they learn how to do that, you know, they go without food and without sleep. They just hit the pedal, and it's kind of tempting to lose yourself in it. But again, I think it's a stairway. It's a pathway to a destination. And I'm beginning to recognize the destination, that there is a destination and some place to go with all this, and not just to spend a lot of time posting on the internet and reading about Orma. And I would encourage everybody to spend time on subtle energies and read absolutely everything. It's a fascinating website, and there's more and more and more every time I get on it. And the next thing you know, it's 3 a.m, you know?
Did anybody else take your water while they were hooked up to the YouTube?
Well, that same weekend, we got one of the women who had not been in the booth yet to drink a glass of water, and she had a similar experience. She, sitting outside of the booth before she got in it, was able to carry on a conversation while she was in an expanded energetic state. In Monroe lingo, it's called a focus 10, which they call mind alert, body asleep. What I would call it is a deep alpha relaxed state, rather the deep state of a Zen meditation, clearing your mind. We have been attempting to see if we can get some time in the sleep lab from Dr. Rai, but he's just opened a new practice and I've just started a new job, so we really haven't gotten together about it, but it's our intention to see if we can actually get a high-quality EEG recording within a sleep lab of the effect of Orma, you know, a before take kit, and actually watch the changes and the frequency of the brain change. That certainly is our intention. It can be done without you know, any kind of money to speak of, just access to the EEG. They also have devices where you can monitor.